The promise of the Arab Spring that began in Tunisia in December of 2010 has become a bitter, violent reality for the people of Libya, Egypt, and especially Syria. Whatever happens to the region politically, though, women have already made hard-fought gains in changing the roles of women in politics and family life throughout the region. Dr. Nada Daif was in Bahrain when she volunteered to treat injured protesters in that country.
The first few hours, they went after the heads of the political opposition parties and societies. Immediately next day, they went after doctors. I was the first female detainee. I was asleep with my husband and my kids. They were in their rooms. There were about two dozens of masked men, fully armed, and they told my husband, "We're here to take her."
Dr. Nada Daif is one of nine women profiled in a new documentary that you heard an excerpt there from. The project is called The Trials of Spring. It includes a series of short films that you can see right now on the website of our partner, The New York Times. And it also includes a feature-length documentary that will be premiering at the Human Rights Watch Film Festival on Friday, June 12th. Ginny Rediker is the Oscar-nominated and Emmy-winning director of The Trials of Spring. Ginny, welcome.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So what did you anticipate being able to say about the Arab Spring, which I think has been so disillusioning to so many of us, by profiling these nine women?
Well, interestingly enough, we went there thinking, you know, early on thinking that we were going to make a film and shorts about the triumph that women and the role that women played in the triumph. And then instead, we really became involved in telling stories of kind of a protracted struggle. And what we really found was that women were at the forefront, are at the forefront of progressive change throughout the region. But they're often, well, they are being targeted both by the repressive regimes and by violent extremists. And so, which kind of speaks to the importance of the role that they are playing.
Tell me a little more about Dr. Daif, who we heard just a moment there in that excerpt.
She is a woman who's a doctor who had never really been involved politically at all. But when the uprising started to occur in Bahrain, and then there was they cleared the square, they cleared the region where people were, there was a lot of violence, and there was a call for doctors to come down and treat the people that were injured. And she thought, well, I'm a doctor, this is my oath, so I'll go help. And she found herself kind of caught up in something that she had never – she became a victim of torture, essentially, for helping treat injured people.
A different situation in Tunisia, as Kalada Gol was just saying, where they've moved to really thinking about reconciliation. But here is one of the people you protest, Lubna Zaour, who was part of a demonstration during the Arab Spring called the Brides of Peace.
I remember the face of one particular person, an old man. I looked at him and all I could see were tears running down his face. He came close to us and said, "May God protect you. Go on, go on."
Now, visually, what's happening here, and what were they trying to, what message were they trying to send?
Visually, what's happening is as a group of women decided that they wanted to make a peaceful protest, and they wanted to be the brides of peace. So they made wedding dresses for themselves, and they went into a market, and you know, very busy place, and they took off the things that they had over their wedding dresses, and they stood and they held a sign that said that they wanted peace, which was like this act of incredible bravery. And it went on for 15 minutes, and all the people in the marketplace started really cheering them before they came and were arrested by the police and then put in jail for like 3 months and beaten.
And what has become of Lubna Zaour?
Well, what happened was their family was very targeted for the fact that they did this. Their father had a restaurant. They had to sell the restaurant. There was no business anymore. He had to leave. And so they're now refugees that are living in Turkey.
And Libya, which is perhaps, aside from Syria, the most disillusioning of all of the Arab Spring countries, you profile someone named Salwa Bugaji. First of all, tell me a little bit about her, and we'll hear her voice in a moment.
She is and was an amazing woman. She was a human rights lawyer, and she was very brave in that under Gaddafi she was willing to try cases and to push at the regime to recognize the human rights of people. And she was also very early on in the revolution, very much part of it. She was from the very first days, and she was recognized as a leader. And so Salwa encouraged women to participate. She was incredibly brave. We spoke with her family because she was assassinated.
You know, you never imagine that something can happen very fast. They just broke into our house, assassinated her, and kidnapped my father.
It was a shock for the whole society, for all Benghazi, for whole Libya. It was like an earthquake.
And Salwa Bougaji's family there, of course, remembering her. And what's become of them in Libya right now?
They're actually living in exile in Jordan. But, you know, Salwa was assassinated after the revolution. She was just assassinated almost exactly a year ago. And it was by the militants, the kind of violent extremists who have really running roughshod over the whole country. And so that she was a woman who was willing to stand up to Gaddafi, was really a symbol in the revolution of what the country could be. And so because of that, because she was targeted and assassinated by violent extremists.
By warlords who are essentially the chaos that has succeeded
completely
Gaddafi. What do the women of this region symbolize, do you think?
I think the women symbolize progressive change. I think that that's what they're looking for. I think that they want individual rights. I think that they want freedom. I think that they want to see a progressive change in their country and in the whole region.
And are they going to get it, or is it going to be turned back?
Well, I think only time will tell. But I think that the more that we listen to their voices, the greater the chance that we have, that mm-hmm. they have, and that we all have.
Well, you can hear their voices in the movie, the documentary, The Trials of Spring. Ginny Rediker is the Oscar-nominated and Emmy-winning director of The Trials of Spring, which you can see in a series of short films on the website of our partner, The New York Times. And the film will be premiering at the Human Rights Watch Film Festival on Friday, June 12th. Thanks so much, Ginny.
Thank you.
Support for The Takeaway comes from the Henry Luce Foundation. For increased understanding of East and Southeast Asia, Lumosity.com, brain training designed by neuroscientists that has been used by 60 million people worldwide, with personalized training programs to challenge memory, attention, and problem solving. Learn more at Lumosity.com. And the Rockefeller Foundation, whose transportation initiative is promoting equitable and sustainable developments in communities across the country. Want more information about the stories you hear on The Takeaway? Check out thetakeaway.org for more facts, figures, and news from guests and contributors and opinions from your fellow listeners. Leave us a note or comment on a story you heard, all at thetakeaway.org.
You come to The New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.